Well, last week, Nick talked about ministry outside of the church or going out and evangelizing. And Pastor David asked me tonight to teach about ministry within the church and raising up others in Christ, And so what is our ministry and how can we raise up others in Christ? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Before we get there, I just want to give a little bit of my background and how God, over the last 30 years, used others to encourage me, to build me up, and to raise me up in the church. And so I'm just going to go over a little bit of that testimony, how I got saved, and also how God used others in my life in order to do that in my life, and how, because of that, I wanted to do that for others, and also all of us, each one of us, should want to be in the business of building up and raising others up in Christ. Over the last 30 years of my walk with Christ, God has raised various saints to come alongside of me on my journey to encourage me, to prod me, to reassure me in my faith at times, and to help me not only grow in Christ, but also grow in serving and using the gifts that God gave me for Christ. Not that we do it for rewards, and not that I've done great miraculous works, but each person who has invested in me shares in the rewards of my service to the Lord. And I'm thankful for each one of these people, and so many more that I won't mention tonight, and many of you are in this very room tonight. I made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ at the age of 23 in December of 1994. I remember being in the shower after waking up of a late morning of partying. That was kind of like the vicious cycle that I was in at that time. And it just go out Friday nights with all the buddies and stay out all night and not get home till early morning and, you know, sleep till afternoon. And I just remember going in the shower, and that's where I would do a lot of my thinking, my contemplating. And I just remember being in the shower and crying out to the Lord and saying, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. And I did that for weeks, to be quite honest with you, before this particular day. And I didn't have the power in myself to change. I wanted to change, but I didn't have the power in myself to make that change. And it wasn't an audible voice, but it was such a strong impression to me that it seemed like an audible voice, but it was my brother Johnny saying, cry out to the Lord, ask God to reveal himself to you, and begin to read the Gospel of John. And immediately when I got out of the shower, I grabbed my Good News Catholic Bible, and I opened to the Gospel of John, and I began to read. And to be quite honest with you, I sat there, I read through the whole Gospel of John, nothing really happened, and I just started over again. And this time I said, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. If you're real, reveal yourself to me. And when I got to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3, where it says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, it's like a light bulb went off. And I was saved right then and there. And God saved me, and my life's never, ever been the same since then. I'll never forget that day. It was the day that I entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, although that was the day that I made a commitment to Jesus, my learning about God and serving him started before that. I grew up in a Christian Catholic home. I went to a Catholic school, and we went to church on a regular basis. Every Sunday, I remember going to church. And although I never really understood or that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus going to the church, you know, I always remember my mom serving at the church. And she would clean the church. That's what she did. She would go through and dust the pews and clean the pews. And I remember going with her at a very young age, doing that during the week and just serving the Lord. And I remember her encouraging me, you know, probably not the best thing at a church, but they would do bingo. They had a bingo hall at the church. And so I would set up, I remember the age of 10, 11 years old, up to the age of 14, setting up for bingo at St. Stanislaus School that I went to, and just serving in that capacity. And then I remember my father. My father was a carpenter. He worked at Gleason Works and was a plater by trade, but he did a lot of home remodeling and carpentry. And so I remember helping people in the neighborhood, members of the church, and, you know, just serving in that way. And I remember a lot of times there's four of us brothers, and we would go and we would help my father at times to go work on jobs. And I just remember just wanting to leave and get out of there. And it's like, come on, are we done yet? Like, let's go. You know, I don't want to be here all day. And I remember my father, he would tell us this often, but I remember he would tell us this: do the very best you can at your work, no matter what you're doing. Even if you're just cleaning toilets, do it with all your heart to the best you can. That's something my father instilled in me in a very young age, and all my brothers, that I learned at that time. And these lessons, they stuck with me. My parents' example of humble service shaped my understanding of what it means to serve God and to serve with a whole heart. After I got saved, God placed other people in my life who invested me. The first, as I mentioned, was my brother Johnny. For years, Johnny shared the gospel with Lisa and I, and he invited us to home Bible studies. Actually, the first home Bible study that I ever went to is where I met Dave and Nina. Me and Lisa were very, very young. We had a young baby, and I don't remember too much about the Bible study. I just remember meeting them. We didn't get saved. I mean, it was 2-3 years after that we got saved. I remember going to church picnics and just people planting the seeds in my life. And at that time of my salvation, my brother Johnny, he was going through a difficult season. He was dealing with a divorce. He wasn't really walking as strong with the Lord. So much so that when I called him and told him, Johnny, I got saved, he said, yeah, right. He didn't believe me. He said, okay. But, you know, and just a side note before I go, keep praying and sharing the gospel. Nick, remember last week, said that our job is not to save, but to plant seeds and to water. And God is the one that gives the increase. And I'm thankful that my brother constantly shared the gospel and invited me to various church events. And so keep praying, keep asking, keep sharing the gospel. We just never know when God is going to give that increase. And like I said, I believe it's a work of the Holy Spirit that in that shower that day, that those words that my brother talked to me and shared with me so many times came to my remembrance, to work of the Holy Spirit. But when he realized it, he was happy, he was excited for me. And even though I had been saved, Friday nights were still very tough for me. They were a struggle. I was in that cycle of hanging out with my buddies and doing things to that. And Lisa, she was aware of that. And she reached out to my brother Johnny. And in response, Johnny came over every single Friday night. And I don't know for how long, it was months, that he would just come over every Friday night. He would read the Bible with us. He'd bring, at that time, was cassette tapes of Chuck Smith and Christian worship, and just because I was listening to music that wasn't good. And, you know, so he just began to just invest in me and bring things that would help me to grow. And it did help me to grow, and his faithfulness helped me in a time that I really needed it. The third person was a man named Don Sirico. We had been going to Calvary Chapel for maybe 6 months, and we had went to a baptism picnic. And at that time, Calvary Chapel West Side and Calvary Chapel Flower City, they did combine baptism picnics. And we had been going there for a little bit of time, but we hadn't really connected with anybody. And mostly, if you don't know, it's mostly probably because I'm an introvert. Didn't put myself out there. But nonetheless, I talked to David's brother Danny was there, and I knew him from the Bible study. And so I remember running into him, just telling him some of the struggles that we were having as Christians and that we hadn't really connected with anybody. And he introduced me right away to Don Sirico and his wife Anita. And Lisa and I, to this day, Don's at home with the Lord, but we regard them as our spiritual mom and dad. They had invested in us for many, many years. They, not only in word, but by their example, they taught us how to be Christian wife, Christian husband, to be godly parents, to work, to pray, how to serve the Lord, just every little aspect of it. They really exampled and discipled us, and they had a great impact on me and Lisa as, you know, as Christians. And so we'll never forget their investment in us. You know, at that time, we also started going to foundation classes at the church that we were going to, and we learned that the foundations of our faith, also that the next step is in growing in Christ is serving Christ. You know, it's the next natural byproduct. If once you understand, you begin to have a relationship with Christ, the next natural thing is to serve Christ. And I specifically remember Richard Kreider, we had him here for children's ministry, and he said he would sit at the back of the church in his service and ask this question. He would say, "Do you know God intimately?" "Yes, yes, oh yeah, yes." "Do you love God passionately?" "Oh yeah, yes, yes." "Are you serving him selflessly?" You know, that's what many people, but that's the next natural byproduct of knowing God intimately, loving him passionately. It's the next natural thing for us to do is to serve him selflessly because of all that he's done for us. We just want to give back to him. And even in Romans 12:1, it says that it's our reasonable service, you know, to serve him, to lay our life down, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. But anyways, we began to go to foundations classes, and folks in the church began to encourage us to serve. And I remember Lisa started serving in nursery. I started serving in youth ministry. And I remember at that time, they asked me to be an assistant to the youth minister, but there had some inappropriate relationships were going on with him. And I think 2 weeks in, he was let go. And I became the youth leader. And I didn't know anything I felt like I didn't know anything. I knew very little. I just, like I said, became a Christian maybe 6-9 months. And I remember, you know, telling them, I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I can. They said, "Well, just teach the little that you know." And I remember them telling me this. They said, "God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Make yourself available. Make yourself available." And since then, there in 1995, started my journey of serving his people, his purposes for the furtherance of his kingdom. Now, most recently, Pastor David has invested in me over the years. But specifically, I remember sitting in a leadership meeting at the early start of the church. We were meeting at Greece Apollo at the time, and there was a guy named Jim who was a school teacher that was overseeing the children's ministry at the time. And it was different leaders at that time, and Jim, he was going to be leaving because he got a promotion to be a principal at the school. And so we needed somebody to oversee that ministry, and I remember sitting there in that meeting, and I had been serving in children's ministry previously for approximately 10 years. And at this time, though, at New Beginnings, I was part of the sound ministry. I was setting up and getting involved in sound, and I was really, really loving and enjoying that. I mean, I really did. And, you know, I remember us having discussions, and then Pastor David said, "Tony, I was thinking that you could oversee the children's ministry." And I was thinking in my head, no, I don't feel this is what the Lord's calling me to. I'm enjoying sound ministry. I served in children's church for years. I've never been an overseer. I'm not educated. I'm a high school dropout. I don't know about scheduling, curriculum, volunteers. So I said the spiritual thing that most of us say. I'll pray about it. But inside, I was like, no way. I can't do this. This is above anything I've ever done. No, I have no experience in this area. Sometimes we could feel this way, and we need someone to come alongside of us and say, yes, you can. Yes, with God's help, you can. You don't need ability. You just need availability. After maybe a few days, maybe a week, I made a decision. But before I tell you what that decision was, which you probably already know if you come to this church. But I was on my way to work at that time. I would listen to Alistair Begg on the radio, and he was going through a series, and the series is about that God can equip you. If you make yourself available, God will equip you. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I remember just you know, thinking about that. And, you know, obviously I called Pastor David and I told him, okay, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it. And here I am by God's grace and encouragement of others overseeing kids ministry, I think, for the last 17 years or so. All because someone believed in me and saw a gift in me I wasn't even sure I had at the time. Somebody building me up, raising me up in Christ. Those are just a few examples of people that God brought alongside of me to build me up in Christ, encourage me to serve in his house. But before we get into the message, I don't want to just emphasize that it's extremely important to raise up others in Christ and to serve the Lord, but it's equally important to understand that we are serving the Lord. And when we do it, we have to give it our best and do it to the best of our ability. Not too long after beginning to serve the Lord, I remember coming along this scripture and reminding me of what my dad told me. And it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So not only are we to serve the Lord, we are to realize that we are doing it for the Lord, not for men. Although we do serve one another, we are really serving God, his body, his people, his purposes. And this is a very important principle to understand if we're going to serve the Lord faithfully and if we are going to raise up others in Christ. As I look back on my journey, one thing is clear. None of it happened in isolation or seclusion. It happened among God's people in his church. And even as Pastor David emphasized this morning, it's so important for us to be in the house of God. It's so important for us to be in the house of God. In the house of God, God placed faithful men and women in my life to encourage, to challenge, and to disciple me. Each of them played a role in helping me grow in Christ, to get involved in serving his church, to teach me how to serve him faithfully. And that's just how God designed his church to function. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're not meant to walk this Christian life alone. We are part of something much greater, a body, a family, a church. And just as others invested in me, we are called to invest in others, raising them up in Christ. So tonight, I want to challenge us to think about how can we be faithful in raising others in Christ? Who is God calling you to invest in? Nick mentioned last week that it's so important to have a Paul in your life, somebody that is kind of discipling you or mentoring you. It's important to have a Timothy, somebody that you're also bringing along, and then to have a Barnabas, somebody who's encouraging you. And that's so very important that if we want to grow, that we have those types of relationships in our lives. We are to be in ministry of raising others up in Christ, and the body of Christ is his church. How do we do that? Well, that's what our message is about this evening. But before that, I want to give you a quote out of a book that has been very helpful to me, and I would encourage you to read it. It's On Being a Servant of God by Warren Wiersbe. And in here, he gives a quote of what ministry is. He says, "Ministry takes place when divine resources," right? God is the one that really is doing the work. "Divine resources meet human needs through loving channels," that's you and I, "to the glory of God." Amen. Not for men, but for God. Ministry happens when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. So tonight we're going to be talking about raising others up in the body of Christ. Now, although I will be going through 1 Corinthians and part of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 as a text for this teaching, I want you to know up front that this teaching is not to emphasize on the specific gifts. We're going to be talking about raising up others in Christ and taking that text to bring out those points. So we're not going to get into the gifts of the Spirit and things to that nature. That's not what we're going to be focusing on tonight. So with that said, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and let's pray again. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, again for this time. We pray that as we get into your word, that you would minister to us through your Spirit and through your word. I pray that you would have free reign in our hearts, God, and that you would we would leave here changed people, Lord God. We would leave here knowing you better and knowing how we are to serve you in your church and also how we are to bring others along in raising them up in you, Jesus. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get into the main message, there is a prerequisite for being a part of the church, part of the body of Christ, and you might know that that is being born again. We must be born again. That's why I started with my testimony of how I came to know Lord, to know the Lord Jesus, because the first thing we have to do in order to be adopted into the body of Christ is to be born again, is to be born again. So with that said, let's get into 1 Corinthians 12 and see how we can raise up others in Christ. And we're going to start in verse 4. Now, the first point is this. In raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God uses diversity in building the body. God uses diversity in building the body. Verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works in all, who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so we see that there's many different gifts that are given, but it's the same God who gives them, who gives it, these gifts. In the church, God uses diversity not to divide, but to build unity. In the world, differences, diversity, often lead to division. But in the body of Christ, it's not so. Differences are important for growth, strength, and unity. So unity is so important, and it must start with the right foundation. Now, whenever I get a chance, I go to North Carolina as often as I can to see our grandchildren. And one of my grandchildren, Maddox, loves to build Legos. So we often spend our time building Legos. And sometimes he wants to try to build Legos on the plush carpet. Two reasons we don't do this. I'm getting old, and I don't want to sit on the floor. And two, it's not a firm foundation. When you try to put Legos together on that plush carpet and it's not a solid foundation, and we're trying to connect different Legos of different shapes and sizes and colors, they won't stay together. When you go to push them down, they come apart and they don't stay together. So it's much better to have a solid foundation underneath the Legos. And so I would encourage them, let's move over to the table and let's build the Legos on the table. For that reason. Now, think of raising others in Christ like building with Legos. If you try to build on an uneven surface, the structure won't hold together well. But when you build on a solid foundation, every piece, no matter its size, shape, or color, connects to form whatever it is you're building. The same is true for raising up others in Christ. We must recognize that although we have differences, we can still be united because of that foundation that we have in Christ. If you remember, there were divisions in the church of Corinth. And we could look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, where it says here, Paul speaking says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you perfectly be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Why does he say this? Verse 11, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul?" The answer is no, no, no. The church is made up of all types of people from all walks of life and different cultures and different upbringings and backgrounds and spiritual gifts. However, we are all united in Christ through the gospel. That's what unifies us. This is the unity that we are to raise up others in Christ in. This is a unity that they must understand, that we are all one because of the gospel, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We are all part of this body. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 4 says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So you see, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Unity. Even though there's differences. Galatians 3:28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So despite our differences in Christ, all believers are equal, and our differences shouldn't divide us. But it's important for unity to be maintained. We, the church, have to operate with humility and love. We are called to serve one another, not to think that we are better than others because of our differences, or allow our differences to cause division and to divide us. Romans 12:3 says this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, this is Paul speaking, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So on the contrary, we must fight to maintain unity because we are one body united in Christ. And Jesus is our example. In Philippians 2, we read this, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Do not look only out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had, Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling with. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in the human form, he humbled himself. See, humility. In obedience to God, and died a criminal's death on the cross. Ephesians 4:2 says this, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Because of your love, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Paul here reminds us that we are to think of one another. But it's not just all of us believing the same thing. It's also, how do we treat one another? How do we relate with one another? It's with, if we're going to do it, it's through the Spirit, in the Spirit, with all humility, gentleness, patience, making allowance for each other's faults. Unity is something that we must fight for. When building something, the key is to have a strong foundation, and that foundation, again, is Jesus. He is the one who willingly gave up his life and died on the cross so that we would be part of God's family. His church, his life, his church. Let me read that again. He is the one who willingly gave up his life, died on the cross so we could be part of God's family and his church. Jesus is what we must all be built on. He is our example of how we are to live our lives. But then we must also fight to maintain unity in the church by how we relate to one another. And this is what we must help others recognize. If we're going to build them up in Christ, if we're going to raise others up in Christ, we must let people know that, yes, we are different. We have differences, but we're united in Christ. And that is so important, that we understand the unity that we have in Christ. And we're one body. We're not against each other. We're for each other. We're united together for the cause of Christ. Number two, in raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God's Spirit is the one who equips each one of us differently. for the common good of all. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, this is important, listen, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink in one Spirit. In raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God's Spirit is the one who equips each one of us uniquely for the common good of all. The Holy Spirit works in a way that ensures every believer, no matter how different, contributes to the body of Christ for God's will and purpose to be accomplished. We see in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, that it is the Holy Spirit who distributes the gifts to each one as he wills. This is important. This is not our own choosing, but by God's design that shapes how we are equipped. No two people are given exactly the same gifts, which means that every believer has a unique role to play in the body of Christ. These gifts are not given for personal gain or for personal glory, but for the common good of all, so that the church as a whole can be built up. What this means is differences in gifts are not random, but they're planned by the Holy Spirit for his purpose. We may not always understand why we're given certain gifts, but it's vital to trust that the Spirit's intent is meant for the common good of all. We aren't supposed to be in competition, in comparison, but cooperation. If God is the one who equips us, why do we get hung up on not having a gift someone else has? Or a gift that God hasn't given me or called me to? Because the enemy wants me to be distracted with wanting another gift or carnally desiring what we think as a better gift. But really, what can be better than the gift that God has given us? You see, I think we get distracted and hung up on a certain gift instead of being faithful with the gift God has given us. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says this. This is New Living Translation. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you will be dishonest with greater things. So no matter what the gift is, how small, how great, we're called to be faithful in that gift. The more faithful you are, the more God can trust you more. Be faithful with the little. I think the question in our efforts should be, am I using the gift God has given me now at this very moment to the best of my ability, operating in it fully to whatever extent God allows us to? Are we doing it unto the Lord? Or do we say, I'll give it my all once I get this gift, or when I can use my gift in front of this group of people? See, this is a very wrong attitude, and it will hinder you from the joy of serving him with the gift he has presently blessed you with. Do it unto the Lord, not as men pleasers, but as God pleasers, knowing that your God is well pleased with you, even though not one person may notice. Let me give you a little bit of an example. I remember early on just being here, we used to have carpets out in the foyer, believe it or not, but I remember vacuuming and thinking, why isn't anyone helping me? They don't see me doing this all on my own. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, who are you doing this for? Are you doing this to be seen of others? Or are you doing it for me? See, you doing this is allowing other people to fellowship. And this is what I want you to do right now. You're allowing others to fellowship. And I remember saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I rejoice in vacuuming so others can fellowship. Lord, forgive me. Let me serve you with a joyful heart. You know, it's so important. It's so important that we have that type of attitude when we're serving the Lord. So no matter what gift, we have to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given for each one for the profit of all. You see, the gift isn't for self-edification. It's not for yourself. It's to build up and profit the church, to profit one another. Every believer has something to offer for the common good of all. When we work together, we will fulfill God's purpose for the church. Just recently, we had a funeral here, and my brother Lucho and Dave were here serving, but Lucho specifically, but I remember just grabbing a vacuum and starting a vacuum. And Lucho came up and he says, "Hey, let me do that. You got more important things to do." That's a blessing. He's a blessing. But truly, it's not more important things to do. It's different things to do, you know. But I was so blessed by his heart, and that's the way that we should be. You know, we're not all called to the same thing. So is vacuuming too little for any of us? You know, so it's like, hey, you could, there's things that I can do because we had to finish closing down the computers and doing all this. And yeah, he's not aware of how to do all that. So it's a blessing for him to say, you know, you go do that and I'll do this. You know, because we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all doing it for the common good. Right? And so it's such a blessing when we have that type of mentality. It's a mature spiritual mentality to have. And Lucho, you're a blessing to me in so many ways. But that was just one little example to me. Number three, in raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God doesn't want us to be independent of one another, but interdependent, relying on each other as part of the body. Now, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12 says this, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, again, as he wills and as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to you, 'I have no need of you,' nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And so we see in these verses that if we're going to raise others up in Christ, we have to be a part of encouraging people to get busy serving God in the church. Why? Because staying on the sidelines and not doing your part is actually causing the body not to function correctly. If we see ourselves as part of the body that says, "I have no need of you," or if we view others as unnecessary to the body, then we are not operating as the healthy and fruitful body that God created us and wants us to be. Just as God pleased, he set all the members of his body as he willed, not to be a loner, standbyer, sideliner, fan, but an active part of the body, realizing that each member relies on other members for us to be healthy in a fruitful body for his will and for his kingdom. You see, we need each other. In fact, we are designed to be interdependent on one another, not independent. It's important to understand that God designed the church to be a community where believers are not meant, again, to be independent, but interdependent. And as members of the body of Christ, we're all to be connected to one another, each playing a special and important role in fulfilling God's purposes. And this is so important for spiritual growth and maturity. The church, like the illustration here of the human body, is made up of many different members or individuals. And the body cannot properly function if a member is missing or secluded or sitting on the sidelines. Just as the foot can't claim to be unneedful because it is not a hand, and the ear can't say it's irrelevant because it's not an eye. No, each and every believer, take this personal, is vitally important to the body of Christ. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you are unnecessary just because you have a different role or function in the body. God intentionally designed each person to be a part of the body with a very specific purpose. Paul, in this verse, in the verses we read, is saying, regardless of how seemingly unimportant you might think of yourself or think of others as unimportant, you or they are not only important, but necessary for the body to function properly. If the body were made up of completely one kind of part or person, it would fall short and be unable to perform what it was created to do. Each one of us is so very important. As we raise others in Christ, we must help them to recognize and understand that we grow best when we are joined to one another, relying on each other's strengths and encouraging one another in our weaknesses, and working together to fulfill God's purposes, because we are interdependent of one another. Number four, in raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God put us together not that we would have conflict, but that we would care for one another equally. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that should be, one, no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the, two, the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Healthy and fruitful body ministry will not result in schisms or divisions. No, it will reach out and be available for the care and concern of the whole body. God is the one who designed us and put us together. It's not by accident, it's by design. He did this to make sure that there wouldn't be any schisms or divisions, that there would be members that are suffering alone or being honored alone, but that all the members suffer and rejoice with one another, each part caring for the other. Paul stated the necessity of each member and the importance of the mutual care and honor for one another in the body of Christ. Every member of the church is important. I know I've stated this and probably beat this point up, but I want you to get it. Even though those who may seem weaker or less visible, or seemingly weaker or less visible, it's important to recognize that God intentionally designed the body of Christ to function in unity, right? We talked about that. Not through conflict, not through schisms, not through division, but on the contrary, to care for one another equally, regardless of our perceived status or importance. Look at James chapter 2, New Living Translation. We're going to start in verse 1. He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another one comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and good in a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, 'You stand over there or sit on the floor,' well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives?" See how we should be looking, how we should look at one another? Do we have equal care for one another? Galatians 3:28, again, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12. Jesus speaking, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And listen, all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Again, humility, humbleness, gentleness. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, here we must recognize that every member is important if we walk in humility and think this way. This is the way we're going to think about every member, that every one of us is important. Each one of us is important. Why? Because God is the one to place us there. God is, as he wills, he's the one that's gifted and placed there. Our Lord exampled this for us, and because of this, if we live this way, if we think this way, there won't be any schisms, there won't be any divisions. We must see one another through God's eyes, seeing each believer is valuable, regardless of their gifts, their talents, their status, their role. When we see each other this way, it prevents division in the body, and as we recognize every person is important and of great worth to Jesus, placed in his body, this should also cause us to have great care for one another. So there's two results of thinking this way. It's to have great care for one another and that there be no schisms, no divisions. Because we're all one. We've all been saved by grace. Nobody, none of us can look down, right? We're all, when it comes to Jesus, we're all here. We're all on a level playing field. Romans 12:9 says this, don't just pretend to love one another. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And listen, take delight in honoring one another. Take delight in honoring one another. In raising others in Christ, it's important to remember that there should be no divisions, but instead, great care for one another. This is something we have to pass on to one another, to those that you're raising up in Christ, that God's called you to. Number five, in raising others in Christ, it's important to recognize that God wants you to be confident in knowing that you are part of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? We know the question, these are rhetorical questions, and the answer is no. But listen, you are the body of Christ, and again, you have a special role to play. You are a vital part of the church. And again, it's not important what the gift is. What's important is, are you operating to the best of your ability in the gift that God has appointed you to do? If we want to flourish as a body, we must be confident. Confident, no matter what gift or ability God has given you, that you do it. And you be confident in that gift. And understand that your lack of operating in the role God created you to do, again, causes the body to suffer. Romans 12, verse 6 and 8 says this, verse 6 through 8, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. Do it with all your ability. Do it with confidence that God has given you. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So there's so many more gifts than are just in this chapter. There's a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. You see, God has given you the gift, and then God supplies you the strength and energy to do it. Do it with confidence. Do it with confidence. Paul here is encouraging the believers to use the gifts God has given them to do them to the best of their ability with all that they got, and to do it with confidence. And it doesn't matter what the gift is. Again, we might see gifts as small or great, but all are important. Whether you are called to teach, to lead, to serve, to give, to show mercy, parking lot ministry, nursery, cleaning, praying, etc. Every member is important and necessary. Again, don't focus on the gift so much as to focus on being faithful to operate in that gift to your full potential and with all confidence. Self-confidence? No. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, "We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ." It's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Listen, our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers. You see, God is the one who enables us to do his work. He's the enabler. That's why we can have confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in God and what he's called us to be. Our confidence is that he's gifted me to be part of the body of Christ, and I am going to be confident in that and operate in that in the fullest, to the fullest of my capacity, whatever that is. And everybody has different capacities. But to the fullest of your capacity, do it with confidence. Know that God is, he's with you, he's for you. Do it with the confidence that he gives you. God has intentionally called and gifted you. This doesn't mean that one person is more important than another. What it means is that God has a specific role for you to do. Do it with confidence. You have heard Pastor David say often, and if you haven't, you're going to hear it now. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. The job of ministering to the body of Christ is not just for leaders or certain people on a ministry team. No, every one of us is called to be a minister. This is so very important. Each one of us are called to be a minister. And listen, as you give yourself away, and I know there's sacrifice. When you're serving, there's sacrifice. I get it. But Jesus, in Acts 20, verse 35, it says of Jesus that he said this, "You should remember of the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive." And there is something supernatural that happens when we give of ourselves away for the cause of Christ to serve others. As we are getting poured out, he's pouring in. And there's a joy to come from serving Jesus, serving his people, serving his purposes, no matter how great or how small. Cleaning toilets, being on the worship team, no matter what it is, just do it to the glory of God with the confidence that he's given us. Understanding God's enablement should give us confidence in knowing that we are contributing to something eternal and significant. As we grow in this confidence, we will embrace whatever place God has us in. Do it with confidence. The confidence that Christ has given you, that he's enabled you. Number 6, and our last point, is raising others in Christ is important to recognize where God wants you to start and what your personal emphasis should be. When you get this right, everything else you do in building the body of Christ will align. Now, sadly, many people try to do the right thing, raising others in Christ, building the body, but they go about it the wrong way. It's crucial to build the body the right way, the foundation where God wants each of us to begin, and what the focus is. And the focus is love. The focus is love. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, he says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, it's important that everything we do to build the body of Christ must begin with love. Many people try to build the body of Christ, but they do it the wrong way, using their gifts and talents and lots of effort without everything being grounded in love. It has to be grounded in love. Paul here in these verses is teaching that love is the foundation for all ministry. Love is the foundation for all ministry. Now, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, but then he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. So yes, earnestly desire the best gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. But then he instantly points us to a more excellent way, which is love. The greatest spiritual gifts are useless and unfruitful if not exercised in love. Love is the important thing. Serving with our gifts is not just about what we do, but how we do it, and what the motive is. And the motive has to be love. So no matter how important or great the gifts or talents are, they're just noise, he says, a clanging cymbal. They leave us empty. We become unprofitable, right? If it's done without love, this is what we can experience from our... So if we're serving the Lord, do we want to do it and then it be useless or unprofitable? No, that would be a waste. It's got to be from love, out of love. When we serve and use our gifts in love, we are a reflection of Christ, and we are raising up others to be the most fruitful. Love means being patient with each other, being kind in the way we interact with one another, even if we need to correct one another or give each other guidance or direction. Love means that we put others' needs before our own, even if it means making self-sacrifice. Love means that when we put on humility, that we put on humility. Love means that we bear all things, believe all things. This means that we're committed to walking through the challenges of life with our brothers and sisters, encouraging them in faith, even when they are going through tough seasons, that we're there with them. You see, love should be the primary focus, especially in raising others up in Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love us? He gave his life for us. He gave his life for the church. He says, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Our love for one another is a testimony to the world. Jesus explains the foundation for all Christian ministry and life is love. Love for God, love for others, serving one another in love. I tell parents this often when we started the children's, the youth ministry, volunteering ministry. And I said, it's important that kids don't just come to church, but they be the church. They don't just come to church, but they be the church in love. It's important. They have to be part of what's going on. There's no junior Holy Spirit, right? Starts when you get in adult church. If you go back there, there's kids raising their hands up in worship. 7, 8, 9-year-olds. They're raising their hands up in worship in the back. We raise others up in love, giving them opportunity to serve because we love them. Because Jesus was our example. He said, I didn't come to serve, or to be served, I'm sorry, but to serve and give up my life a ransom for many. In closing, God has called us to raise up others in Jesus. Consider yourself a builder in the work of building up others. As a builder, know that God has given, or God uses different and wants us to work together. He didn't put us together to be in conflict with each other, but to care for one another. You can be you with confidence, knowing that God put you there, gifted you, and you are vital to the growth and health of this fellowship. The most excellent way for you to build up the body is to be motivated by love. Love for your brothers, love for your sisters, love for the body of Christ. I want to close with this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. I think it sums it up perfectly. He said, he makes the whole body fit perfectly together, together perfectly, as each one does its parts, does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what God wants for our body, and he wants you to be part of it. Let's commit to raising us up others and building the church like this. Every member doing its part, fitting together perfectly as his body, helping one another grow, unified, full of love, all growing together in a healthy body as one, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have the worship team come up and we'll pray. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us very specifically, very uniquely to be part of your body. And Lord, help us to realize that if we are not functioning in what you called us to do, Lord, that the rest of the body is hurting. It's not functioning properly the way that it should. I pray that if anybody here doesn't feel that they're a significant part of the body, Lord God, that they wouldn't think that way anymore, that they would realize that they're very special, that they have been gifted very uniquely by you, Jesus, and that you have enabled them, Lord God. I just pray that we continue, Lord, to be united in fellowship and love in the foundation of you, Jesus, and that we would continue to encourage others, to build up each other, to love one another, to care for one another, for your glory and for your honor, Lord God. Help us to be those loving channels that meet human needs through the divine resources that you give us, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.